Well, good morning again. So as we said, I think we said, this is, of course, the time of Advent. And we think about and look forward to Christmas Day and the arrival of Jesus. That's right. Now, Tim said Santa Claus, of course, naturally. And that's true, but Jesus is a better answer right here in church. And I mentioned last week, you may remember, how could you forget, how Jesus defined greatness. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus tells us that if we want to be great, we have to serve others. Remember that? There's just no getting around it. Loving and serving others is what Jesus calls us to do. And that was to him the true measure of greatness. And then in Matthew 11, verse 11, Jesus makes this bold statement. He says this, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Wow, right? Pretty nice compliment, yeah? Coming from Jesus. And that should make us stop and ask ourselves, what made him, John the Baptist, JTB, so great? Jesus is saying he's the greatest of all time. We ought to really study a guy like that. Well, it's not hard to find. He's not hard to find. His story appears in all four of the Gospels. And his role, his mission, is foretold 750 years prior to that by the prophet Isaiah. We just heard it. A voice of one, calling in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And we also heard it by Malachi in our responsive reading today. "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way." And we learn in the Gospel of Luke how John the Baptist heard the call of God to go forth into the country around the Jordan River to preach and to baptize and prepare the way. Prepare the way for whom, Tim? Jesus. For Jesus, that's right. And this then is the essence of what made John so incredibly great, is obedience to answer God's call. And so John the Baptist became known as a bit of a unique and even eccentric character, didn't he? Sort of a little bit of a wild man in a way, living in the wilderness, right? Wearing a camel's hair robe and kind of eating bugs and wild honey and stuff like that. I mean, some people thought he was crazy, you know, maybe even possessed. He seemed homeless. But was he any of those things really? Not really, no. Not really. No, JTB was actually from a really good home, a really good family. He was smart and an educated guy. He did not have to live the way he lived. But he was called to prepare the way of the Lord, the way of the coming Messiah. He was called to lay the very foundation of the Christian church, our church, including this church. And so this eccentric man was so compelling with his message that he gained a huge following, including his own disciples that he had. So much so that some people thought maybe he was the Messiah. Yeah. But he dispelled that very quickly. He remained humble, all the way up to the very end. John never let what get in his way?
Pride. Right, nice.
That's right. He never let pride get in the way of his mission. He remained humble, obedient, and focused all the way up to the moment of his death. Now, Herod may have thought that Herod was great. But who was really great? John the Baptist. By loving and serving God and thereby helping to build the church, John was loving and serving others, including every single one of us. And he did it until the day he died. And that's why he was so great. Well, last week, as we said, on Monday morning, a longtime member of this church family went on to glory, our dear friend Clint Cooper. And I was thinking of Clint, especially as I wrote this next part of today's sermon. Because for as much as John the Baptist gained a lot of attention and had a strong following and a really loud voice, you know, back in his day, and for as important and for as great as he was, and he still is, John the Baptist would never have lived if not for a relatively quiet, pretty much unknown, and God-fearing man named Zechariah, his father. The Gospel of Luke, in just one chapter, chapter 1, tells us all that we really get to know about Zechariah. And then he's not heard from again. But we learn in that one chapter that Zechariah was a priest and he was married to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses. And she was also a cousin to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And both Zechariah and Elizabeth were, according to the Bible says they were blameless and holy in the sight of God. But they were both at this time older, and they had never been able to have a child. And then suddenly appears on the scene for the first time in the New Testament, the angel Gabriel. Now, here's a little trivia tip for you, Linda. You might not need this tip, but here's a tip for the rest of you. If you're ever asked the question, who was the angel in the Bible that did such and such? You with me? If you ever get that question, who was the angel in the Bible that did whatever, such and such? There's only two possible answers for that question. The answer is always either Gabriel or Michael. That's right. That's right. There's a bunch of angels in the Bible. Millions, really. But only two are mentioned by name. Gabriel and Michael. So you got a 50-50 chance on that answer. Okay? That's your little tip for the day. All right. So Gabriel, in this case, tells Zechariah, first of all, what do they always say right out of the gate? Do not be afraid. That's what they always say. And that's what he says, as usual. And then he tells him all of this. Gabriel says to Zechariah this. He says, you and Elizabeth will have a son. You shall name him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you. That's good to know. That's not always the case, but that was the case. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will go on to make ready the people to prepare the way of the Lord. Wow. Okay. Wow, right? That's pretty awesome news.
If you hear that from the angel.
And how does Zechariah receive that news?
Well, the same way you and I would, right?
With a lot of doubt.
I don't believe it.
And a lot of questions.
Yeah.
He says, well, we're too old.
Yeah?
How can that be? Stuff like that was his reaction. And so Gabriel says to him, firmly but lovingly, he says, Zechariah, you need to listen. You need to be still. Do not talk. Just listen and see what happens. Stop talking, he says. Stop talking, right? Just listen.
And so for the next 9 months, old Zechariah was completely unable to speak. He didn't say a single word, not one word. He just watched and he listened.
And there's a lot of significance to that. Yeah, of course. There's a lesson there for Zacharias and for all of us. Sometimes we just need to zip it up, don't we? We need to step it up. To stop asking questions and to stop talking, for God's sake. Yeah? And just be obedient. Just listen. And lo and behold, 9 months later, Elizabeth gave birth to a boy. And the father, Zacharias, still could not speak. He couldn't speak. So he wrote down on a tablet, his name is John. And as soon as he did that, at that very moment, his speech was returned to him. And the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what followed immediately, after 9 months of silence, is recorded by the great historian Luke in chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. And it's known as Zechariah's song. Zechariah's song. These few verses capture the entire essence of the gospel. The words of Zechariah. And this is what he says. This is what his words capture. They praise God, and he announces the anointing of his son, John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord. He announces the advent of the Messiah and the promise, the good news of grace, mercy, and eternal salvation for all mankind. It's all right there. It's all right there in those few verses. Just to read it. These are the words of a strong, humble, God-fearing man, Zechariah, the father of JTB. So in closing, now I ended the first half of this story by saying that John the Baptist had remained focused and obedient to God all the way up to the moment of his death. And you may recall that he died at the hands of Herod Antipas. Herod had ordered his beheading. Remember that story? And John would have been right around the age of 30 when he died. But he was pretty lucky to have lived for 30 years. He was pretty lucky that he did not die as an infant. Why? Why? Because Herod Antipas' father, Herod the Great, 30 years prior, had ordered the killing of all male children under the age of 2 in that vicinity. Now we know that Jesus and his family escaped to Egypt. That's right. That's how Jesus survived. But tradition has it
that John the Baptist, as an infant, did not escape per se. He was hidden. And he was hidden by his father. Historical accounts from the first and second centuries record that during the massacre of the innocents by King Herod, Zechariah refused to divulge the whereabouts of his son, whom he had hidden. And as a result, he was executed by Herod's soldiers on the spot. So think of it. Think of it. Think of the symbolism of that. Zechariah once again had remained silent. He was silent in the beginning, and he was silent in the end. And he died for his silence, willingly, knowingly, and humbly. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, laid down his life, not just for his son, but he certainly did that, that's true. But he also laid down his life for the gospel, for the Messiah. And he laid down his life to get the good news to all of us through his son, John. He did it for us. He died for us. And greater love has no one than that. Amen.